I think the first thing they can expect is that for the first time, we will have something approaching a unity government in which I will probably not have a majority in parliament, but I will bring into government the best that the CPP has to offer, the best that the NDC has to offer, and the best that the MPP has to offer, because we want to reach across the political divide and start on a new platform to build a national consensus for the future of this country that leaves behind the acrimony, the political antagonisms that have prevented us from becoming who we can truly be. We all are aware of the history of this country. We know that at independence, when the seeds of such great promise and hope were sown, also there were seeds of strife, which at one time or another during our political dispensation up till now have threatened to engulf us. We must once and for all get rid of those seeds of strife and work across our political differences to establish for a new generation, a successor generation after the founding fathers, a new political future that works for all of us and that brings the best to bear on achieving the dreams of our forefathers.
Well, Dr. Sakara, some Ghanaians that I have spoken with are of the notion that the political situation on the ground is not conducive enough for your party, the CPP, to win the majority in this year's election. Do you think their assertions are unjustified?
Their assertions are not wholly unjustified, because where we are starting from to where we want to be is a long stretch. However, politics is not mathematics. It is not a linear equation. It is full of surprises, twists and turns. And I believe that in this election, the level of awareness and discernment amongst Ghanaian voters has reached its highest peak ever. And I believe that it is going to meet the naivety that our politicians have shown in not recognizing that the old tricks will not work, and that this time they have to deliver real results, they have to deliver promises that can be fulfilled, and they have to be held accountable for their past stewardship. And that means not just looking at what you're promising, but the track record of your performance. And we all know that both the NDC and the MPP have been in power over the last 20 years. We all know that during their stewardship, this country has suffered the erosion of its manufacturing capacity to its lowest ebb ever, where we have now become a dependent economy. In spite of our newfound oil and in spite of the highest ever prices for the major commodities that we trade on the global market, cocoa, gold, and timber, that notwithstanding, our economy has failed to transform itself from a raw material producing economy to one in which there's significant added value with a vibrant labor force that receives incomes that are commensurate with the standard of living. So what we have seen is also a decline in purchasing power of Ghanaians. This, together with the reality that never at any time have we had such a high level of unemployment, even graduates are unemployed. Never at this time have we had such a narrow space in the economy for indigenous Ghanaian entrepreneurs. Never at this point have we been under siege in our own domestic market.
But what specific pragmatic measures are you going to put in place to reverse all these challenges that you have enumerated?
Well, first and foremost, we have outlined under three pillars of interventions, building our human capital under our social transformation agenda, where we will have free compulsory secondary education up to secondary school level. And we will have a two-tier system where those who fail the BECE exams will not be left behind. No child will be left behind. We will use this opportunity to establish opportunity industrialization centers in every district that will maintain the standard of secondary school level education syllabus in the 3 hours, reading, writing, and arithmetic, whilst those students have an opportunity to develop a lifelong skill in the vocational or technical area. That, coupled with our investment in strategic resources, optimizing our chain from the production of gas to fertilizer to investment in a new plantation crop in the middle belt of the country, we will then ensure that agriculture is linked to fertilizer with infrastructure, and it will provide both movement for inputs and movement for outputs, reducing the transaction costs to make our agriculture competitive. It will also mean that we have sufficient biomass production to be able to feed people and industry. That will be the source of driving our agriculture, and we are going to get the money for this by using the investments that we are saving for exploration of oil under the National Oil Company. Instead of a hit-and-miss venture in the open seas, we'll be investing in the land with that money to ensure that we build our agriculture, transform it towards a modernized agriculture, have a medium and larger scale agriculture that is going to be more productive, lead to agro-processing, lead to established light manufacturing, and encourage entrepreneurship even in ICT.
Political analysts are suggesting that this year the election could possibly go the second round, and that no single political party will be able to win the first round, and that there could be a runoff. Now, if there is a runoff, will the CPP under your leadership form a coalition or form an alliance with any other political party for the runoff vote?
First and foremost, if there is a runoff, I will exact the same terms from any other possible collaborating party as I will offer to them to be in government with me. And that is, number one, we are not asking for position. We are asking for critical sectors, at least 3 sectors, where we will provide the ministers of agriculture or permit our partner to provide the ministers throughout our tenure of government. This will ensure that those people who voted for the collaborating party also have a stake and ensure that their votes were not wasted. Secondly, we will want to ensure that any partner with us is a partner for peace. We will not engage in witch hunting. We will not engage in persecution of our political opponents. We will not engage in disruption of the business atmosphere just to create another line of patronage. We want to stop the business of people coming into government and creating their own wealthy class. We want to ensure that every Ghanaian who is in business feels that government is working for them because they pay their taxes. We want everyone to have a fair opportunity to compete for contracts. And we want our agenda of stamping out corruption at the point of procurement, at the point also of taxes and duties at ports, at the point of ensuring that the wastage in the system in government is cut down. This, together with other measures that we will take in a positive vein to strengthen and our own entrepreneurs and indigenous entrepreneurs, will make sure that we create a competitive class of people for our own market. Anybody who is willing to build that agenda with us will be willing to work with them.
What will be your message to the prospective Ghanaian voter ahead of the December 7 election?
First of all, I want to say that one of the other policy measures that we shall be instituting and that we will demand of any partner in government is that we must stop treating our Ghanaians abroad as second-class Ghanaian citizens. They are major contributors to the growth of our economy. They are major contributors to acquisition of skills and new ideas and enterprises in our economy, and we will make sure that people of dual nationality are entitled to all the rights that a normal Ghanaian citizen has, either in seeking for public office or in undertaking any other venture. This is something we have put in our manifesto, and we will ensure that anybody we partner with agrees to that or works with us to achieve that. Now, as we go to the end of the election, we now have barely 3 weeks to go. We know we are approaching that critical moment where, as a people, as Ghanaians, we must make a decision for the present and to secure the future. That decision is not to be treated as if we are supporting football clubs, where, irrespective of the performance of our club, we feel allegiance to it. There is only one allegiance, and that is the allegiance of the nation of Ghana. And we must rise above our parochial party interests at this critical moment when the election has so much at stake to ensure that we make the right decision for a government that will pursue prosperity for many, not to continue on the path of governments that pursue prosperity for a few at the expense of the many. This fundamental change in our approach to governance is what we need at this point in time. Otherwise, the resources available to us through our oil and other natural resources will not accrue to the benefit of the ordinary lives of men and women. We are telling everyone, if you want a party that will secure this nationalist agenda, if you want a party that will take this path of building prosperity for all, you should count on the Convention People's Party. We have a track record. It is our tradition. And at this moment, when a successor generation has come to the fore in the form of myself, my vice presidential candidate, my national party chairman, Samia Nkrumah, we are the next generation that has come after the founding fathers. Our track record in government has been a track record of service with commitment, dedication, and honesty and integrity. This has been a path that has been set by those who have come before us. Dr. Kwame Nkrumah, Hila Lehman, we will not be the ones to stain that record. And you can count on us. And you can be sure that we will continue to serve all Ghanaians with our utmost commitment to ensure that we build a new future that will bring prosperity for all Ghanaians.